The worship this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, and they go as this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all, both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Once again, I welcome you here to Resurrection Day. Many call it Easter, and that's fine, but I call it Resurrection Day because of the purpose of this holiday that we celebrate. This morning, I'd like to go over a couple things we missed last week. So we're going to get a little bit of last week, but not too much, but a little bit of last week. I want us all to understand the situation that led up to the few days before the events of Easter or Resurrection Day. So I want you to think. I want you to try to place this in your minds. This is the picture. It was a terrible day. An awfully sad day. Jesus had just been hung on the cross. He has been treated as a common criminal, along with two other men sentenced to be crucified. Many, both friends and enemies, stood and watched by as Jesus gave up the ghost. But none of them fully understood exactly what was happening. Yes, many believed that Jesus was the Son of God and remembered how he had healed the sick and made the blind to see. They remembered how he had fed thousands of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they also remember that Jesus caused life to come back into the dead. He had raised the dead. But they just couldn't understand why Jesus had to die. They didn't understand the resurrection. And why did he have to die in such a terrible way? Just a few days before he suffered the cross, he was beat, he was spit upon, he was mocked, and crowned with a crown of thorns that were pressed upon his head, causing his very self to bleed. Jesus, during his life, never seemed able to convince his own followers in the fact that he had power over all things, both life and death. Did he not calm the sea? Did he not raise Lazarus along with others? Did he not heal the sick? And yet they couldn't understand. They just couldn't grasp the fact that he had all this power always over all things. The power to open the graves. The power to resurrect. That's the power Jesus had and still has today. And let's not forget that. Whenever Jesus would speak of the resurrection, everybody listened intently. But they never really could comprehend exactly what he was talking about. I'm sure they thought that Jesus would always be with him. He would never go away. He's our master. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about leaving from amongst them, their hearts were heavy and they were troubled. And they also seemed puzzled by the mystery of which he tried to explain, power over death. They didn't get that, because they looked out and they seen death is death. It's a physical thing. It's death. We know what death is. They didn't understand what he was trying to bring forth of spiritual things. Because we are also human ourselves, I'm sure we wonder, if the disciples couldn't understand it and they were with him, well, how is it possible for us to understand this idea of resurrection, this idea of life after death, eternity? After all, they walked and talked with the Savior, did they not? They saw firsthand the miracles that were brought forth by him. But even the disciples were overcome with fear and grief concerning Jesus' death. Jesus tried to overcome that fear by saying in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I have said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because you would know." But they still just could not understand the resurrection. They only understood death as being physical. They were not understanding the spiritual sense of things. They couldn't have their eyes opened enough to see what's after this life. They knew not why Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life." Still, you have to wonder why, if they had seen all these miracles that Christ had brought forth, why they couldn't understand his power to resurrect the dead. They know that he brought forth Lazarus, and that they couldn't understand it. Oh, he just slept. Even the disciples, "Oh, he's just sleeping." No, he's dead. Christ had to come right out and say, "He's dead. And I do this for you. I allowed him to die so that you could see these things." Mark 14 says this in verse 25. It tells of Jesus having the Last Supper with his disciples, until they shall meet again in the kingdom of God. So he's saying, you know what, here I am. This is the last time I'm going to be with you. We're going to sup here, but it's going to be the last time until we meet again in the kingdom of God. And it tells of how they were just so full of grief that they wept. They didn't know what to do. They're crying. What do you mean? You're going to leave us? In John 13:36, once again, Christ tries to let them know there is life after this physical death. He says unto them, whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. That was the promise. Then in 37, Peter boldly asked, "Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter thought that the departure of the Lord could be stopped by a physical confrontation. "I can beat up anybody. I'm strong. I will protect you, Lord. Nobody's going to take you from us." They just didn't understand what Jesus had to do for you and I. He had to fulfill all righteousness, and to do that, he had to die on the cross so that the sins could be gathered together unto him and taken away from the world. No wonder they slept at the garden while Jesus prayed. Only Christ himself knew the nearness and the true meaning of his approaching death. What a shock Christ's death must have been to all his followers. This was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. How can he hang on a cross and die like a common man? Oh, how at the cross the thoughts of many promises must have gone through their minds as they saw before them the Christ hanging on the cross with spikes in his hands and in his feet. They remembered how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am here to save the world. Now all they could see was that Jesus was gone. He had passed from this life. In the matter of only a few agonizing hours, all their hopes had been taken away. All seemed lost. You see, they forgot the scriptures that say, "The Father has given all things in my hands, and I shall rise again on the third day after my death." He discussed that with them. It's interesting to note, though, I want you to realize this, that while Christ's own disciples had forgotten or could not comprehend his teachings concerning the resurrection, the government didn't forget what he had said. For this reason, they placed guards on the tomb, for they remembered the words of Jesus that he said he would rise on the third day. And they weren't going to take any chances that Jesus might be stolen his body from the tomb and then stir up the followers again for that new hope and the renewed faith. Sad to say, once again, the fear of Christ's enemies seemed to be stronger than the love that his friends had for him, because they all ran. Was he not denied even by his disciples? We don't know him. You were with him. No, I wasn't. Cock-a-doodle-doo. I shall rise again on the third day after my death. It is now the third day, and we have the open tomb, and we know that the Christ rose up. As the women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with oils, as was custom in those days, to their great surprise, the rock was rolled away, which covered the tomb's entrance, and the tomb was empty. As news spread, instead of happiness, there was sadness, because the people just didn't understand. They didn't remember. They thought someone stole Christ's body. They forgot that he had foretold that he would rise on the third day. They still did not understand. In Mark 16:10, we learn that when Mary Magdalene, after seeing, she went and told the disciples about the risen Christ, and they didn't believe her. No, not true. There was also two men that Christ, in another form, was walking with in the countryside. He told them. They went to try to tell others. Once they realized who he was, they didn't believe him. And yet they were told that this was going to happen. The very ones that walked with him. How sad it is when those whom were closest to the Master knew not the true reason for what had just occurred before them. They felt lost and alone, ready to go back to their old jobs. We're just going to go back fishing, tax collecting, whatever it might be. But during all this time of grief and self-pity, our Savior Jesus Christ appeared before them, and he chastised them, along with giving them instructions. Listen to these words from Mark 16:13-14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, remember Judas is gone, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them, or scolded them, with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, beginning at 35, let us see what happened. We can see that they were scared at his appearance, still not understanding. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He knew exactly what they were thinking. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet wondered and believed not for joy, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Now they're getting it. That they might understand the scriptures. And then said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Right here. Beginning right here, he said. All people need to repent for remission of sin. And he started right there. And ye are witness of these things. Now it took time. It took time. But the true meaning of the resurrection had finally come to them. They now realized that their Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, was the Messiah, the Savior of the world that was prophesied of. Soon after, those chosen men were filled with the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, if you will, and went forth to do many mighty things. This is the realization that the apostles had. And you know, it did indeed save Christianity, because if the apostles went forward and didn't do anything, it would have all been cut off way back then. I'm sure Christ would have had another way, or God would have had another way. But this was part of the plan. And it was because of those apostles bringing forth and having that understanding, being filled with the Holy Ghost and the authority which was endowed upon them now, they were able to go forth and continue on. They saved Christianity, if you will. For without it, faith would have surely dwindled away. Let us read Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians. This is 15, starting at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have to know, not just have hope. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The apostles now went forth in vigor and preached the gospel. They preached repentance. They preached the resurrection with understanding and new vigor, because they knew the meaning of the resurrection. As we read through the book of Acts, we can follow the apostles and see that many wonderful works were attained among the people of the church and those out and about. They preached with power and authority as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, even to the extent of causing the earth to shake when they were there together. Many times they were put in jails, and the jails could not hold them, which caused the high priests at that time that were in the area to become very angry, because they didn't like someone else having a little bit more noticeability than them, because they knew everything, right? In Acts 5:29-30, it says this, Then Peter and the other apostles answered to the high priests and the worries that were put forth among the people, We ought to obey God rather than men. the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. The apostles were mocked, and they were shamed by others. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because just as we talked about in class this morning, we still have a little bit of difficulty there, don't we? When we try to explain the church and where we're from and the doctrine of Christ, especially to people from other churches that have been there for a long time, generation, 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 their hearts have to be open. But we still have to give the information, no matter what happens to us. These guys were mocked. They were shamed by others. They had all kinds of difficulties. But they said they were joyful that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ's name. I have to ask you and I, are we willing to go through embarrassment caused by peers and be shamed by them because of our belief? Feeling that same way, that we're worthy to suffer the shame of Jesus Christ, and I take account of that and praise God for that. It gives us strength and courage to do that, even as the apostles in the day of old. That we stand up for what we believe. We stand up for what is true. We've gotten past the point, brothers and sisters, where it's something that we just believe. It's truth. And God has given it to each one of us in our hearts and our minds to know the truth through His Spirit. We know that the apostles, along with many through the years, have suffered much to tell everybody Christ has risen. He is our Savior. He has beaten death. Many have went through the years and are still going on trying to bring that message with full purpose and understanding to the people of this world. And for many, they will not hear. For others, they will fall upon their knees and thank God, because the knowledge will be sinking into their hearts and they'll have understanding. And now, because of those things which have happened, we have opportunity to live eternally in God's kingdom. We must never lose our faith. We must listen to the Master when He speaks. He speaks to us today. Listen to these words from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. How wonderful. And that should be on our minds. That's what we should be telling others. For we have that same opportunity. We need to share the good news. Christ has risen, and He is alive today for all of us, if we but accept Him into our lives. Why should we fear? Jesus is the living Christ. He is with us, helping us every day to carry us through. I pray that every day you thank God for our Savior Jesus Christ, that gift that has been given to us, that the same way that He was carried up into the heavens by resurrection, we have that same ability through Christ Jesus. That this life is but a small portion of that which is to come. I hope we don't take so long to try to understand that. That we're not just looking at the physical, but that we ourselves can see that which is spiritual and the understanding of the glories and that which we're working for now in God's kingdom. I pray that the Lord would be with you. I continue to ask His angels to watch over you wherever you might be. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep the faith, brothers and sisters, and move forward. Don't allow Satan to pull you backwards. Move forward always, no matter what's happening, what's going on in your life. And His promises will prevail. His church will prevail. we will prevail. And we will one day find ourselves in the kingdom with God and Jesus Christ. And we're going to be able to ask some questions, if you will. I want you to think about that for a second. Who are you going to go up to and talk to? When you get to heaven and you're in the kingdom, who would you want to talk to first, do you think? Personally, I think God's going to talk to me. And then, of course, I'm going to have a conversation with him because he's going to talk to me. But of all the people that are in heaven, who would you like to talk to? One of the apostles? Joseph Smith? Jesus Christ himself? Do this in remembrance of me, it says. I want you to remember this tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And not just let it go for another month. Not let this Easter day go by as just another holiday that we didn't have to work. But that it's a day that sinks into our hearts and we remember what the Christ did for us. That gift that was given. So that we can have that eternal life with him. Pray the Lord blesses you, keeps you safe until we can meet again.
Bow with me. Dear God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for thee and thy Son and the blessings of life. And we pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit might rest on us and watch over and protect us as we go into the world, that we might be a blessing unto thee and thy Son. In Jesus' name, amen.